This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the jungle. We start hour number two. I am Jim Rome. Great to be with you on this Tuesday. Lots to get done, especially in this hour. Coming up momentarily, a conversation with Green Bay Packers linebacker Blake Martinez. We're efforting him. Right after that, Buffalo Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander. Then after that, we're open, wide open the rest of the program. We're broadcasting live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. It is a Podcast Tuesday. In the meantime, as I'm efforting these guests, go ahead, get yourself set up in the rotation. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. And don't forget, it's Podcast Tuesday, and I've got something totally out of the box, something totally different coming up for you a little bit later on. You're going to want to make sure you listen to it. It's got nothing to do with sports, and I still think that this might be your favorite one of any of the ones that we've done. So make sure you look for that. 1-800-636-8686. In the meantime, as promised, we're joined right now by a linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. He had a big game in Sunday's win over Cleveland, 9 tackles in that game. For the season, over 100 tackles, a sack, 5 passes defensed, an interception, a forced fumble, 2 fumble recoveries. Played his college ball at Stanford. He was a first-team All-Pac-12 player there. Green Bay, 7-6. They've won 2 in a row. They're at Carolina on Sunday. Critical matchup, obviously. Packers linebacker Blake Martinez is my guest. Blake, good morning. Great to have you on. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great, Blake. Thanks for the visit. You were on the road in Cleveland against a team that had not won a game this season. They get up on you 21-7. I know you'll tell me that nobody was panicking on the sideline, but what's going through your head when it's all unfolding? You're down by 2 touchdowns. Were you ever nervous at any point during that game?
I think at certain moments, definitely when it was 21-7, we kind of were looking at each other on the sideline wondering what was going on, what were we missing, and I think once we got down to kind of the nuts and bolts of it, it was just guys kind of trying to overstep their boundaries, and we weren't doing what we would normally do, and we were just trying to make plays on our own. And at that point, we kind of sat everyone down and said, hey, just do your job, and we'll get this thing done, because we're a winning team. We know how to get it done, and like we did, obviously, with Devontae's walk-off touchdown, we did it in an awesome fashion.
Blake Martinez, my guest. I mean, that's as good as it gets, right? A walk-off touchdown. We're talking about Devontae Adams with that 25-yard TD pass and ran right down the tunnel. As you see him heading down the tunnel and you find a way to win that game, what's going through your mind? Emotionally, what were you feeling like then?
Oh, it was unbelievable. I think it was just kind of a big statement to our season, just guys fighting through. No matter who we put on the fields, what situation we're in, we're never going to stop fighting. And I think that walk-off, him walking in the locker room, you always talk about it. Hey, if I get a touchdown to finish the game, I'm just going straight to the locker room. And
right.
And to see that done and to be a part of it and to be a part of that comeback was just incredible.
We're talking to Blake Martinez. Now, the win keeps your playoff hopes alive, and there's that possibility that you might get Aaron Rodgers back this week. So what's the vibe like around the facility right now, and do you expect to see him playing on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of have the same mindset going into this week as any other week. Recently, it's just, hey, if we get him back, we're gonna like welcome him with open arms. He's obviously one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and to be able to have him back in the lineup or whatever happens is just gonna obviously make us a better football team. But overall, I think going into this week, we're just preparing kind of for both standpoints. And we're going to go about it the same way. We're going to be professionals and know, hey, we got to show up on Sunday and do whatever it takes, no matter who's starting for us at quarterback.
Packers linebacker Blake Martinez joins us on the program. You know, I had Atlanta Falcons linebacker Deion Jones on yesterday, and we were talking about the difference between being a rookie and a second-year player. He said one of the keys was he just felt a lot more comfortable doing everything. So for you, what's been the biggest difference from your rookie year to right now?
Yeah, I think that kind of is a part of it for me is just knowing what to expect from kind of fall camp all the way throughout the season. I think the biggest thing for me was kind of going through my first year, I think I was trying to overdo things. I wanted to be the next Luke Kuechly. I wanted to be the next Ray Lewis, the next Brian Urlacher, just the next great great linebacker, and I was trying to force myself to be like them, where this offseason I kind of reflected on things and just looked at my play and was asking myself, what was I missing? Why wasn't I making the plays I know I should have made? And it was that standpoint of, hey, I need to just be Blake Martinez. I need to go out there and allow my instincts and play style to kind of show. And at that point, I started making the plays that I knew I could make and just trying to keep getting better and better as the season goes on.
Yeah, Blake, when you mention those guys and say, I want to be the next great one, I want to be a guy like Luke Kuechly or some of the other guys you mentioned, in your mind, what sets them apart? What makes them great? Is it their playmaking ability or is it something else?
I think it's just the attention to detail. I think I learned that extremely at Stanford and kind of moving throughout the league. You just watch them on tape. That's my big thing that I do is kind of watch guys, whether it's Sean Lee, Luke Kuechly, Bobby Wagner, any of those high-name guys, and you just see them each and every play. It's just the attention to detail, whether it's reading the pulling guard, whether it's reading run pass, whether it's knowing what the formation is kind of going to attack you and how it's going to go, and then going down the fundamentals. They're never false-stepping. They're never making the wrong read, and it's incredible to watch. And if you're able to do that every single play, it's just going to obviously make you that much better, and you're going to stand out that much more.
Green Bay Packers linebacker Blake Martinez joining us. You know, your teammate Mike Daniels picked up on that, like, literally from the jump. He said from the moment that you arrived, he liked you because he liked your attitude and the fact that you were saying to him, well, things like you just said to us, you want to go watch film. And I think you touched on this when you said that you learned that at Stanford. I mean, did you get that from Stanford, or is this the way you have always been in terms of attention to detail and preparation?
No, yeah, it's definitely the way I was kind of raised just from – the standpoint, my dad was a guy that didn't go to college, but he worked his butt off every single day, got his business degree, and kind of started from scratch, and now is an extremely successful company. And I think from his standpoint, I went and worked with him multiple times, and I could just go back to one story where every single time I worked with him, he owns a construction business. So I'd go to one of his pads, and his job for me each and every time was, all right, take this small little magnet, and every nail that you pick up, you get a penny. And I would go around each and every house, and if I came back and showed them all the nails, I'd get one penny for each, but if I ever missed one, I'd get no money at all for the day.
Whoa.
And so kind of going through that, I learned, hey, it's attention to detail, and it's kind of making sure that you finish the job every single time you've been told to do something.
I mean, so were you doing it for the money, or were you doing it for his approval?
I think it's a combination. I'd end up with like $10, and back then it was, to me, $10 was like $1 million. So I was pretty stoked because I was able to either buy, I don't know, Yu-Gi-Oh cards, Pokemon cards, whatever it was at the time.
Oh, for sure. You're walking around with some serious dough if that's the case. Blake Martinez joining us. You know, it goes even further. Your commitment to preparation goes way back, but especially when it comes to your diet. I'm always fascinated by what guys eat. I mean, you are what you eat. Teammates talk about the fact that they have never, ever seen you eat or drink anything that's bad for you, that you've always been super clean. As an example, you don't drink soda. When was the last time you had a soda, and what made you stop?
Last time was probably 8 or 9 years ago.
Wow.
And I can remember the reason why easily. It was one of the days I was kind of hanging out with my dad during the day, and he'd always go to this given kind of car wash area. And we stopped at the car wash, and one of his really good friends worked there, and he was just this, like, swole dude, like, yoked out of his mind.
Right.
And I'd ask him, I remember the day, I asked him, like, how did you get like that? And he told me, I don't drink soda. And so from that day on, I stopped drinking soda from then on. And it's working out for me. I'm trying to get more swole, but
so
I think it's working
good.
Out for me.
That is such a great story. Blake Martinez joining us. I'm going to stop drinking soda right now because I want to be swole. As a 50-something-year-old dude, I want to be swole too. All right, so do you have any cheat meals or cheat days when it comes to food? I mean, is there anything, like maybe a little bit of candy, something that you might allow yourself as a reward, or is that just not the way you're built?
No, so I always have the kind of, it's all about proportions. And for me, I have a kind of strategy and kind of detailed plan, just like anything else. So I set my cheat meals up kind of strategically from the standpoint of either, it wouldn't be a cheat meal, it's a cheat day, actually, I want to correct that. It's basically after the season, after OTAs end, after off-season ends, after training camp. So I'd probably say 4 times out of the year, where I basically give myself a 24-hour period to eat whatever I want. And those days get pretty gruesome, but it's always good to kind of have that portion and understand once that day ends why I don't eat that stuff.
I mean, Blake, so you got to give me an idea. So, like, what's a day like that like? I mean, is it a cheeseburger on a Sunday? Or, I mean, are you rolling out of the rack all morning?
My favorite meal is breakfast. So the last time I had it, we went to a place out here. I think it's called Pancake Place. And I had three ginormous pancakes, fried French toast, like a ham, and like green onion omelet. So that was just breakfast. And then for lunch, we went to some like sub place where we got like, I don't know, a foot long sub. And then we went to Chili's, got like molten lava cake, got boneless buffalo wings, a burger, and then end of the night with donuts. So it was a long day for me. I took about like a 20-hour nap after that was done.
It's incredible. So any booze in the middle or around any of that? A beer, a cocktail, anything like that?
Nah, so I'm staying away from the alcohol portion. That's kind of the one thing I'll hold strict to myself, just to make sure I kind of don't get too tempted and get too used to that.
Blake Martinez, my guest. Good playing or good thinking. So playing linebacker for the Packers is obviously one of the most iconic positions in football. What's it mean to you to be a Green Bay Packer?
Oh, it means so much to me. Just from the standpoint, once I got here, it was crazy just to see the fan base and see how amazing they are. I think the first day I walked into the locker room, they had us get here, 5:30 in the morning to kind of go through physicals and those types of things. And there was people, I think there was like 20 people out front, already knew who I was, asking for autographs and those types of things. And it was just unbelievable to see, because I kind of go back to the Stanford days. I maybe had two people at my practice and at one time. This is just me showing up to the facilities and there's people waiting out front.
Blake Martinez, my guest for another moment or so. Blake, your name's getting a lot of run as a possible Pro Bowl selection. I know you're going to tell me you're focused on the next game and on team goals, and I believe you when you say it, but what would it mean to you to be named to a Pro Bowl, especially this soon in your career?
Oh, it'd be unbelievable. It's just one of those things, like you said, that as long as I'm making my team better, that's what I'm going to be happy with. But everyone has those individual goals and wants to kind of achieve those things, and being selected as a Pro Bowl participant would just be incredible, and it just kind of attests to all the hard work that I put in this offseason and in my career for football.
Last thought. I mean, you're living the dream. You're playing for the Green Bay Packers. The team is competitive. I mean, this is what you set it up for. This is what you've worked your whole life for. But I don't want to undersell or underrate the college experience. What was it like for you to go to Stanford, be in that academic environment, and play football at a school like that?
Oh, it was unbelievable. I think Stanford's just the number one institute for football and school, and I just think number one institute overall in the world, just from the standpoint that I think every single day, no matter what I was doing, I was challenged at every aspect, whether I was on the football field or in the classroom. There's people, I think someone in my classroom sent like a spider monkey to space because it could like counteract gravity, and I'm just like, oh gosh, like there's no way I'm beating this guy on a test. And so it's just those aspects where you're like, hey, I got to grind every day, like from when I wake up and when I go to sleep, just to be able to compete with these people in an everyday basis.
God, I wonder what's more intense, being around the best and most gifted athletes in the world or being around the best and brightest people in the world? Because you got the best of both worlds.
Oh, yeah. And I think going to Stanford allowed me to kind of step into this realm with the best athletes in the world and best people in their profession that much easier, because I was able to walk in and understand their mindset and what they're trying to achieve every single day. And I knew how much pressure and how much I have to put into this just to be able to stay at that level for a long time.
Well, man, it's a beautiful life, and you earned it. You stayed on the grind, got on the grind early on, and have never left it. Blake Martinez, my guest. Blake, so good to have you on the show. That's a great conversation. I appreciate you, and really nice to have you on. Thanks so much for it.
Yes, sir.
That was great. Blake Martinez, what an impressive young guy he is. I'm telling you, another Stanford man. Every guy that we ever put on from Stanford, and of course, it's Stanford, right? You'd expect it, but they all show up like that. Packer fan, your reaction to it. You're 7-6. You might be getting your quarterback back. Do you think you've got that one run in you? Can you run the table? Will it be enough? How do you feel about this week? And most of all, how do you feel about the interview that you just heard? All right, we will take a short timeout. Bills Mafia, when we come back, we're talking Bills football. Live in Southern California, in our brand new studio. Now, I had a lot of adrenaline for the first couple of weeks in the new studio, but now the lights are on, the cameras are on, we're getting a look and feel for what the TV show is going to be like. It's going to be incredible. Stay with it, clones. We're coming right back. We're talking Bills football next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. This is CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. My thanks to Blake Martinez and the Packers. From one linebacker having a big year to another, we're joined right now by a Buffalo Bills linebacker, a two-time Pro Bowler, a Pro Bowl defensive MVP. Had a couple of tackles in that Week 14 win over Indianapolis. For the season, 65 tackles, 3 sacks, 3 forced fumbles. He is the 2017 Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. Buffalo is 7-6, another huge game for the Bills. They're at home against Miami on Sunday. That, of course, is a CBS game. Lorenzo Alexander is my guest. Lorenzo, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Yourself?
I'm doing great, Lorenzo. Great to hear your voice. Now, you're battling for a playoff spot. You're playing in the snow. Indy ties the game late. They forced a turnover. Had a chance to win it with a last-second field goal in regulation. I've got to start right there. What was going through your mind when they lined up for that kick?
I mean, it was crazy. You know, obviously they called their timeout and brought off, you know, half their training staff to kind of clear a spot so Vinatieri can try to make a kick. But, you know, we were just hoping and praying that because of the conditions, he was going to have a similar mishap that he had earlier in the game as far as missing two other field goals. So it definitely turned out good for us.
Hey, Lorenzo, crazy is right. I mean, that was a wild, wild day. The game goes into overtime. You guys keep fighting, and then LeSean McCoy breaks off that TD run to win it with less than 2 minutes to go. So what was that game like for you from an emotional standpoint in terms of the highs and lows?
I mean, it was all over the place. You know, we did enough to, you know, keep him out of the end zone for – you know, until the last, 2 minutes of the game, and then they find a way to score, and it kind of goes down. They tie it, and you think they win because of, you know, the two-point conversion. They throw the penalties, and they kick the extra point. So it was kind of all over the place. But to be able to finish out the game, you know, getting the ball back for our offense and certainly be able to finish out the way it did, it was awesome. And then obviously you saw the mayhem after the game, all the snow angels, snowballs being tossed all over the place. So it was great.
Lorenzo Alexander, my guest. I mean, it seemed like it was a near whiteout at points during the game, and there's even some thunder snow in the second half. So what's it like to be a player when you're out there balling in the snow? I mean, on some level, is that fun, or really is it just a big pain in the ass?
It's more of a pain than anything, especially going in a certain direction in our stadium. The wind is blowing in your face. So you get in snow, you know, ice, you can't really see anything, and you're just out there kind of high-kneeing, you know, trying to get to the ball carrier. It was just crazy, you know, looking up on the scoreboards, you know how they show, like, everybody's speed. Normally top speed is, like, around 22 miles per hour, and for that game it was, like, 14, so it was just crazy. It almost turned into, like, a glorified walkthrough as far as the speed of the game, just because with that, you know, felt like a foot of snow on the ground.
Oh, so how'd you deal with that? For instance, how do you go about managing your footing and your cutting when you're playing in conditions like that?
You know, the cutting and footing wasn't as bad as you think it would be just because you were moving at a much slower rate because you couldn't run, you know, top end. Top end, it probably would have been an issue. But, you know, guys maybe slipped and sailed a little bit here and there, but it wasn't as bad as you think that you couldn't get out. I mean, you saw Shady the way he was cutting and making guys miss and turn, so it really didn't affect him at all. But it wasn't that big of an issue. Just more just having to pick your feet up and guys falling, tripping over them than anything else.
Lorenzo Alexander joining us. You look at Shady in his career. It looks like he loves the snow. Now, Kyle Williams said after the game that he gets an extra boost of motivation and emotion when he looks into the stands and he sees the fans out there on a day like that when the snow is coming down. Is that the way you see it too?
Yeah, man. It's not like Buffalo Bills fans, they crazy up here. Rabbit fans, I mean, you should see the tailgating. So it doesn't surprise me that they relish in these type of conditions out there. You see guys with shirts off and, you know, just having a great time enjoying it. You know, whether they was up in the nosebleeds and can barely see the game or down there right with us, They really enjoyed it, especially when we were able to win a game. And, you know, just want to continue to try doing it and try to make a playoff run here.
You know, not only dealing with the conditions, but you lose your starting quarterback, so Joe Webb comes in. How proud are you then of the fact that that team, your team, found a way to win a critical game despite the weather and the injuries?
I mean, it's huge. You know, it's next man up. You know, obviously Joe Webb has been more of an athlete for us, being a receiver, playing a lot of special teams. For him to come into the game, make some big runs, some big throws that won a DT on the sideline, while obviously was huge for us. It was just a great testament to just the type of player he is and the guys that we've brought into this team, because you never know when your opportunity is. But everybody who's had a chance that we've brought in and stepped up in the times that we needed them. So it was huge and big time for us as far as getting that dub.
Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander, my guest. Now, when you and I spoke near the beginning of the season, we talked about the perception outside the locker room that maybe the team was tanking and looking to rebuild. You made it very clear that a lot of guys in that locker room had never won anything, and you were not going to be losing or trying to lose on purpose for any reason at all. Now that you're right in the middle of a playoff hunt, you've got a winning record, is there any part of you that wants to say to everybody, now what do you have to say, and how do you like us now?
No, not at all. We still got to grind these things out here. You know, it's too early to be starting beating on our chest and showing how great we've been, or, you know, how consistent we've been being in the playoff hunt here of late. So we just got to stay focused, because obviously early in the we lost a little bit of focus and dropped three games. So we can't turn our attention to all the naysayers and the outside. We got to keep this thing internal and keep focused so we can get ready for these Miami Dolphins coming in town this weekend.
All right, so I get that. Not expecting you to say as much, but last year was your first season in Buffalo. Things didn't really go the way you would liked in the last five games of the year, but even though there's work still to be done, how special is it to be in this position where you're playing important games in mid-December?
I mean, it's huge, because there's a lot of teams that aren't. And, you know, for us, you know, definitely starting off the season, as you alluded to earlier, to be able to be in this position now is huge for us. We want to continue it. You know, we want to be able to break that playoff drought and really start some real change around here culturally as far as winning games and being a perennial playoff team. And it all starts this season.
Do you guys talk about the playoff drought, or does nothing need to be said about that, and does it not come up?
I mean, you can't but talk about it. I mean, it's always the elephant in the room. So, you know, people have mentioned to you out internally. We'll bring it up from time to time, but it's not like a focal point of what we talk about each and every week. We know it's there, so it has to be addressed, and then we kind of moved on from it.
You mentioned Miami. Jay Cutler and the Dolphins had a big game last night, a strong game. As you start to break down film on them, what is your biggest concern?
I mean, they're a solid, well-balanced team. Obviously, they have two great running backs that have been able to move the ball for them, and then you throw Landry in the mix. It's hard to defend, and Cutler looks like he's getting some rhythm with them. And then you throw in that defense that has some great pass rushers. You got, you know, Sue in the middle, Cam on the outside, and then you throw in that special teams unit led by Michael T, who's probably going to end up making a Pro Bowl on special teams. They're a well-balanced team, and they're hitting on high cylinders. Obviously, anytime you beat the Patriots, you have a lot of confidence, a lot of swag you're going to bring in when you see that next game. So we're going to have our hands sealed. So we just got to make sure defensively we shut down that run game and put it all on Cutler's hands and allow guys like Jerry Hughes and Kyle Williams and Ryan Davis to get after him.
Lorenzo Alexander, my guest. I mentioned, before I let you go, I mentioned at the very top that you are the Buffalo Bills' Walter Payton Man of the Year and a nominee for the league-wide award for your work with the Aces Foundation, which you started nearly a decade ago. What does it mean to you to receive that award and that nomination?
You know, it's a huge honor, you know, because your teammates vote on this award for your team, and to have the respect of them, to see that what I'm doing on and off the field on a day-to-day basis is genuine in who I am. And, you know, just all the guys around the league that you kind of get start rubbing shoulders with in the same belt, you know, a guy like Benjamin Watson or Thomas Davis or Larry Fitzgerald, men like that that I've played with, I've known for a long time and have inspired me to do great things, just trying to pass that along. And so I'm just so happy and ecstatic that the foundation is getting a lot of notoriety because of it, and then the work that we're doing and trying to impact young people's lives in inner city. So it's a huge privilege, and just want to keep doing the great work.
It's a tremendous honor. Good work. Well done. Lorenzo Alexander is a two-time Pro Bowler as well, a Pro Bowl defensive MVP, and Buffalo with another huge game coming up on Sunday. They're at home against Miami. Lorenzo, so good to have you back. Thank you very much. Good luck this weekend.
All right, brother. I'll see you later.
You got it. Lorenzo Alexander, a true credit to his community and to his team. Bills Mafia, what's up? How you feeling about that now? You're 7-6. You're at home. You've got Miami. Miami looked good last night. I thought he did a great job of breaking down the challenges that are ahead in facing Miami. How do you feel about that game? That's coming up Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Speaking of which, I will be in New York this coming weekend for the NFL on CBS, getting my thoughts together for my rants, awaiting my assignment. Can't wait to get back with the team. The NFL on CBS, you want to look for that, and I will be back there on Sunday. Then I come back, and we wrap the year. One more week here. We'll have our year in review, a few more rehearsals, maybe a dress rehearsal, put on some face cake, get after it. And then when we come back on January 2nd, this show becomes a television simulcast, 3 hours a day live on CBS Sports Network. You want to make sure you have that. CBS Sports Network. You can't watch the show any other way except on CBS Sports Network, so make sure you have it. We're dialing it all in. Halfway through the Tuesday version of the program, we are open phones the rest of the way. So I want to reset what happened last night. Miami slaps New England. Jay Cutler had himself a night. Some of you are rushing in to say, yeah, you see, Tom Brady, this is what happens to the great ones. They all of a sudden wake up and they're old. It's like boxing. You wake up and you're a shot fighter. I'm here to tell you that's not what that is. Guy had a bad night. They had a bad game. Saying that the game is blown by this guy and that's evidence that he's got nothing left is one of the worst takes there is. But you've got Pittsburgh now and the showdown with the Steelers, and all of a sudden the Steelers have the inside track for the home field. How do you see that game going? Definitely want to get to Josh Gordon and talk about his act on the field and his act off the field. And in this case, I've got his back. All of that is still ahead. And it's a podcast Tuesday, and it's a podcast I can't wait to drop on you later on. I'm hyped. Got a lot to get done today. But before I do anything else, I got to get you a sports update. Here is the latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so the interview portion of the program is done. We are open phones the rest of the way. Lots of me, some of you, all the way until the top of hour number three. Then it's Podcast Tuesday. You know, when it gets cold out there, your car needs some extra attention, from choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you get your vehicle in fighting shape for the cold weather ahead. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. A couple of quick emails to set this segment up too. Dear Rome, I'm a Patriots fan, so I hate the Bills, but Lorenzo Alexander is pretty good. Dude can talk. He reminds me of Steve Smith. This was an actual hot sports take. Signed, Francis in Glendale, currently in Santa Monica, War Lady clones sliding into my DMs. War Lady clones sliding into your DMs. Like war, like it's happening right now and you like it, or war, you want it to happen. Francis, is there a lady clone anywhere thirsty enough to slide into your DMs? Especially with your hot takes.
War Lady Clone.
How does Lorenzo Alexander remind you of Steve Smith? In what way? War Lady Clones. Rome, please. The Bills are in the hunt. Come on, Jim. You're leading the Mafia on to believe that they've got a chance at ending their 17 seasons of futility. Allow me to lay out a brief synopsis of the next 3 weeks for Buffalo. They will be carved by a resurgent Cuddy while he smokes a pack of Marlboros on the sideline to stay warm in Buffalo. Fall to the timeless one in Brady and the Pats and finish their mediocre season by once again losing to Cuddy and the Dolphins in Miami. Hey, Mike, in Buffalo, I've got a feeling that Buffalo is continuing their playoff drought. Signed, 18 years and counting, Jesse, formerly of Konken, Germany, now in El Paso. My man, welcome home. But I got to be honest, El Paso does not have the same ring as Konken, Germany. Oh. Got to admit, bro, the email read better from Germany than it does El Paso. I'm not saying they're going to break the drought. I'm saying they're still in the hunt. They're still alive. And they are. 7-6 and still battling. Let's talk Josh Gordon for a minute. Josh Gordon's back. And it was technically official last week when he had four receptions for 85 yards against the Chargers. But to me, became even more official when he had three receptions for 69 yards and his first touchdown Sunday against the Packers. And then he went back to the sideline and he threw on sunglasses. Even better when he glossed the sunglasses as, quote, hater blockers. Hater blockers. Oh, that's awesome. But he wasn't officially back until after the game when he came across a quote from Packers DB Demaryius Randall on Twitter. At PG Packers News tweeted the following. How well did Packers CB Demaryius Randall cover Browns WR Josh Gordon? Quote, he had one catch, Randall said. Any more questions? Quote, end quote. So a pretty strong take from Randall. But it got an even stronger response from Gordon, who retweeted it with, quote, great win for them, but let's be serious. Considering several of our disadvantages as a team, this kid couldn't hold my jockstrap on my worst day. LOL. I mean, where do you even start? Where to begin? First off, I love the classic old school hold my jockstrap reset. I mean, that's a burn that goes back to, like, the invention of fire, and it still works. And in the right situation, can still be truly brutal. And how about Gordon going with a little subtle burn of his own teammates with, quote, considering several of our disadvantages as a team. You know, kind of like, we're garbage.
Garbage.
You should have beaten us by more. And the fact that you didn't says more about you than it does about us. Now, of course, there was no way Randall was going to see that and not respond. He did see it. He did respond. He dropped a pair of crying, laughing emojis with, you must be on that bleep again. You must be on that bleep again. And there you have it. It took a grand total of less than 2 weeks before somebody went there, before somebody dropped Gordon's history with drugs into a trash-talking tweet. So now he's officially back. Josh Gordon is officially back. I'm talking about back in the league and back in DB's heads. Because if he's getting into Twitter feuds, that means something's working. And personally, normally when I'm saying to a player, check yourself, that if you can't handle that phone, put it away, put it down. I'm not saying it here. In fact, I've got no problem with this. But Browns head coach Hugh Jackson does. He's not a fan. Hugh said, quote, I would hope that we wouldn't do that. I want us to do our talking on the field with our play. That's where the focus needs to be because that's what it's going to take to get us to winning. Talking isn't going to do anything. I'm sure the emotions are high. We were close to having an opportunity. We didn't finish. He didn't really make a huge catch in the second half, so I think all that stuff fuels into it. But I would advise our players, let's not get caught up in social media and going bantering back and forth. Let's just continue to play and become as good as we can over the next 3 weeks. End of quote. I guess I see Hugh working, sort of. I mean, that ship and his career are taking on crazy water. He's doing his best to keep them both afloat. But when things are not going so well, maybe you shake it up, coach. Hell, Hugh, everything you've done and told them has led you to this point. In short, nothing you've said or done has worked. So maybe what they should do is the opposite of whatever you tell them to do. You say, just let your play do the talking for you. I say, buy every one of these guys a brand new iPhone 10 and let them thumb out whatever the hell they want. Listen, the last thing that I want to do is help the Cleveland Browns right now. Because if they don't finish this perfect season, I'm going to be pissed. But clearly, focusing on what's happening on the field is the reason they're one of the worst teams ever. Better to let them try and kill fools on social media. They have to be better at that than they are at football. They can't be any worse. And clearly, Gordon is one of the league's best at both, and he proved it again only two games in after missing multiple years because of a drug suspension. Keep it up. You can't beat anybody on the field. Maybe you can beat them down on social. Maybe it's time to pick a fight with the Ravens' official Twitter account ahead of Sunday's game. And since Gordon set the bar at hold my jockstrap, maybe you start hitting at Ravens with a few of your mom jokes.
Your mom.
Or, hey, yo, I'm rubber, you're glue. Smack. Hell, Hugh, you're not going to out-coach John Harbaugh, so you may as well take a run at him on Twitter. Because I'm willing to bet that Gordon, after that Twitter feud with Randall, is going to come out on fire on Sunday. And if DeShone Kizer can get this guy the rock, he'll be letting the entire world know who he is and who isn't fit to carry his jock. Man, again, I don't even know why I'm helping these guys. I have no idea why I'm helping these guys, but telling your best player to put his phone away when he's single-handedly trying to spare the franchise and every player and every coach at that facility the biggest embarrassment ever is not the way to go. Hugh, if you're smart, you'll make sure that Gordon's blower is juiced up fully and ready to use at all times. This guy's running on some high premium fuel right now. Stay out of his way. Get him the rock. Stay out of the way. And again, I have no idea why I'm helping these guys. Get him the rock. Stay out of the way. 1-800-636-8686. This guy's on topic. Let's go to Albuquerque. Rex in the ABQ. Hey, Rex, how are you?
Rome, I am great. And this Josh Gordon news is so great for football. The NFL is better when Josh Gordon is mouthing off on Twitter. I love the feuds. It's got me so excited my nipples are pointing north.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
That's great, Rex. Thanks a lot. Hey, Rex, that would have been crap on my voicemail box where the worst calls ever come through. You think something like that's going to work here? Nobody wants to hear about your nipples, Rex. Nobody wants to hear about any part of your anatomy, Rex. Nobody wants to hear from you at all, Rex. That never happened. 1-800-636-8686. Well, I'll give you this, Rex. You were just smart enough to de-hawk. Just smart enough to get through. And you know how you did that? You see, Hawk is one of those radio nerds. Hawk is one of those guys who likes to throw around phrases like, he's on topic, he's in market. Rex in Albuquerque was on topic with Josh Gordon. Go to him first, Jim. So Rex was just smart enough to get through Hawk, to get on the air, to get run by telling all of us what his nipples are like. And how did he do so? By, quote, being on topic. Here's what I love about Hawk. Hawk immediately, no sooner than the hammer comes down, is like feverishly trying to get me to go to another phone call as if to get me to forget what just happened. Go to line one! Oh, you want me to go to line one? You mean where Parody Larry resides? You want me to go there? Now, I'm not in any hurry to go back to any phone call at this point. Not after that. But what I am in a hurry to do is get to that podcast, which is going to tape right after this show. Once again, we're talking about the program Dirty John. Look for it. It's a podcast, a hugely successful podcast, and also a series that was done with the LA Times. You want to get up to speed on that, or if you don't, here's another way to approach it. If you don't want the reveal and you don't want to know what's happening, just go in blindly and listen to my podcast later on today. It's actually a good way to go. You don't even need to familiarize yourself with it because we'll tell the story on my podcast later on and you do not want to miss it. Next hour, I want to talk about golf narc. You know, the idiots on the couch who sit at home watching LPGA and PGA events looking to catch somebody cheating or somebody in a rule violation so they can narc them out. You're going to have to find something to do with the rest of your life because you're no longer able to do that. That and more coming up next hour. I want to talk more about Derek Jeter and the Marlins also next hour. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. 2 hours down, 3rd hour straight ahead. You're listening to CBS Sports Radio.